Blog Talk Radio.
Never changes, so I was not aware, and
It is all good. Yah is still good and greatly to be praised. I am
Amen.
Broadcasting from my little temporary office here, which is in the middle of my family room. You know, I've told everybody I'm about to do Bible study, so they know that I'll be running up and down the stairs and things like that. But until they get this tile in, I'm like, I don't even know how to describe this, in the middle of some boxes, I can put it that way. Anyway, I enjoyed the new moon service. It was a blessing to me. And, you know, I pray that it was a blessing to everyone else and that, you know, you were able to receive out of it. We have the Passover coming up. And so we definitely want to be getting ready for that. We will do something similar to the new moon service, but it will be centered around Passover. And so I pray that, you know, I went out and invited a lot of people to the new moon service, and there was a lot of new people that showed up. And so we want to do the same thing for the Passover, see if we can get, you know, people to participate in that. Nevertheless, I pray that Yah has been good to each and every one of you this week. You're sounding good, at least. All of you.
Thank you, you too. Amen. He's been really good. He really has. No complaints.
Amen. Let us go ahead and do our statement of faith, and then we will pray in, and we will jump into this precept. This time change, I think it's going to throw a few people off. So I might need to go out and address that. Okay, so let's do our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I believe there's one Elohim according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I am a child of Yah and of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give the Most High a hand clap of praise this afternoon. Hallelujah. Thank you. Turn toward the east. Ladies, cover your head. If there are any men listening, uncover your heads. And let us turn toward the east. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercy. We thank you for life and health and strength today. We thank you for the opportunity to once again come together and to break bread, Father, and to eat your word. Father, we ask that you will forgive us our sins as we forgive those that have sinned against us. We ask that you lead us not into temptation, but that you deliver us from evil. We ask that you hold not the iniquity of our forefathers against us, for they are all gone by the way of the grave, and we are still yet here, seeking to keep your statutes, your laws, and your commandments in spirit and in truth. Father, we have prepared a place here for you tonight. We ask that you would come and that you would feed us. We are hungry for your word and we are thirsty for you. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Let us go to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. The book of 1 Kings chapter 8. Starting in verse 46. If they sin against thee, for there is no man that sinneth not, and thou be angry with them, and deliver them to the enemy, so that they carry them away captive, unto the land of the enemy, far or near. Yet if they shall bethink themselves in the land whether they were carried captive, and repent, and make supplication unto thee in the land of them that carried them captive, saying, we have sinned, and we have done perversely, we have committed wickedness, and so return unto thee with all their heart, and with all their soul, in the land of their enemies, which led them away captive, and prayed unto thee toward their land, which thou gavest unto their fathers, the city which thou hast chosen, and the house which I have built for thy name. Then hear thou their prayer and their supplication in heaven, thy dwelling place, and maintain their cause, and forgive thy people that have sinned against thee, and all their transgressions wherein they have transgressed against thee, and give them compassion before them who carried them captive, that they may have compassion on them. For they be thy people and thine inheritance, which thou broughtest forth out of Egypt from the midst of the furnace of iron, that thine eyes may be open unto the supplications of thy servants and unto the supplication of thy people Israel, to hearken unto them in all that they call for unto thee. For thou didst separate them from among all the people of the earth to be thine inheritance, as thou spakest by the hand of Moses, thy servant, when thou broughtest our fathers out of Egypt. O Yah, Elohim. Ecclesiastes chapter 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13 and 14. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear Elohim and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For Elohim shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. May the Most High bless you through the reading, the hearing, and the understanding of his word. In Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. We are still on the kingdom of love. And we know that at the start of this precept, the Most High said, be thou perfect, for I am perfect. He wants us to be perfect in the way that he is, in that, again, just a reminder, that he loved us when we didn't love him. He loved us when we were enemies to him, when we were strangers. So he says, love the stranger. But then he also talked about us loving each other, having genuine love one toward another. And so we as his people, we have to, it's a commandment. It's not a suggestion. It's not an afterthought. It is a commandment. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you. So when we don't, then we are in transgression, and we are in what? Sin. I don't know that many of us think of it that way, that if we don't love each other, that we are in transgression, that we are walking in sin. And that's powerful. It is, we say we keep the law, but do we keep the law of love? Because that is a commandment, that you love one another, that we love one another. So we're going to start tonight in the book of Romans, I believe it is. The book of Romans, chapter 12. The book of Romans, chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. The law, the kingdom of love. Elohim is love. And love doesn't, people think of love as having to be easy. But love is a very hard thing, and especially to love unconditionally. But the Most High doesn't command us to love unconditionally. So the book of Romans, chapter 12, starting in verse 1, and I got a big glare here. Okay. Starting in verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of Elohim, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Elohim, which is your reasonable service. Now, presenting ourselves as that living sacrifice, just like on the new moon service, when it says that we come before you to offer sacrifices and praise, we are offering ourselves. And so, you know, we have to always have that in mind, that we are the sacrifices now. No more animals. This thing has been stepped up to where we have to be that living sacrifice and be willing to give of ourselves. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect and the perfect will of Elohim. So, preaching to the choir. But we know we have to, let me tell this brother, I'll call him back. He's doing something for me. Your heart, I'll give you a call back, okay? All right. All right. Let me make sure I'm on the radio. Okay. All right. So we are to be conformed not to this world. The world, the way it loves, it's a carnal type of love. But the Most High is talking about a spiritual type of love and the transforming of ourselves to where we are giving, that we would suffer rather than cause somebody harm, that we would be defrauded rather than trying to take somebody that's in the body to court. Now, the scriptures tell us specifically if we are, let me do this real quick so I make sure I should actually did that. Can I get a sound check real quick to make sure I'm still on the air, that I'm not tied up in another line? Can you, sister, still hear me?
No? Come on, brother. I can hear you.
All right. Thank you, sister. I was about to do something crazy.
You're welcome.
Amen. All right. So we are told from the scriptures that we are not to conform to this world, and we're not to love the way that the world loves, but we're to have genuine love one toward another, that if we are in the body, that we don't take each other to court. We don't take each other outside the body to resolve our problems. Now, we know that if somebody is in the world, you have to deal with them in that worldly court because they're in the world. But if it's between us, the saints, we're never to go to court. We're never to air the body's laundry, to put it in that way. We should have love one toward another, that we should be able to come to an amicable court. I think that's a word. Yeah, amicable. I can't say that. Wow. Amicable. We should agree together. Okay. We should be able to come to a solution where we agree and we are not trying to pick each other and go in front of the world and say, see how this brother treats me? See how this sister treats me? See what they have done? At least let's know how, you know, love one to another and be able to hear if you go before the church elders or if there's a council to settle a matter, your pastor, that you are able to accept the judgment that is given, that you give them that authority. Okay, so we don't go out into the world for this. Okay. Now, let's continue. And we're Romans chapter 12, verse 3. For I say, see the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as Elohim has dealt to every man the measure of faith. So, you know, it don't matter what office you're holding. Office just comes with responsibility, if you really think about this. If you are a brother or a sister, or you're part of the laity, then the truth of the matter is we're commanded to love one another. As you give or given a title, whether it's elder or evangelist or prophetess or prophet, then those come with responsibility and some authority. You know, if somebody is truly a prophet of the Most High, then you really ought to listen to what they say and take heed to it. Because that office of a prophet is supposed to do what? They're supposed to be speaking, Most High is speaking through them. And what they say is, thus saith Yah Elohim. So when they are talking, he is talking. And this is one of the things that Israel never really truly, I don't think they really truly got it all the way. So, you know, when somebody calls himself a prophet or a prophetess, then they are saying that they are speaking for the Most High. And Yah does authorize some people to do that, to speak on his behalf. But if they say, thus saith Yah, or thus saith the Lord, then whatever they say better come true. Exactly. And it can't be vague. You know, because the Most High don't speak vaguely. Now, he might speak in a parable. He might speak in a way such that you might not know the exact time if he doesn't want it revealed. But I find too many times today, a lot of people who call themselves prophets, they speak in very general terms that, you know, you can't really put anything to it. So I tend not to, you know, really pay attention to that. But when somebody says, thus saith Yah, and they stand up and give a message, then I'm my ears go up for two reasons. Number one, I want to hear what Yah says. But number two, I want to be able to verify that they truly are a prophet or a prophetess. So then if they are confirmed, then I'm going to wholeheartedly listen to them. That's just me. Okay, so let's get back to this. Romans chapter 12. Either way, whether this person, whatever title or position that the Most High gives this person in the body, we're still not to be, quote unquote, respective of persons, but we are supposed to be respecter of the office and the authority. One of the things that I found lacking when I came into Israel and found out who I was as a Hebrew Israelite, there's a lot of brothers, can't say so much for the sisters, but a lot of the brothers do not like to fall up under authority. They don't like to submit themselves. Now, I can't say that's all brothers everywhere, but a lot of them don't like to do that. So when you have structure, and this is a kingdom, and it's supposed to have structure, and it's supposed to have offices and authority, then we as brothers and sisters have to be willing to submit to that authority and understand that it's the authority really is backed by who? Yeah. That's why even in your marriage, the Most High tells the wife to submit to her husband as submitting to him. That's a hard pill for a lot of women, especially if their husband ain't acting much. But that's what God, that's the commandment, to submit to your husband as though you are submitting to Christ. So when we get an office or we get authority, he says, don't let it go to your head. Don't think more of yourself than you ought to think. That's why I don't take a title. You just call me Brother Miles, regardless of what the position that I'm holding and what I'm doing. Because there's a lot of titles I could take that the Most High has given me. But I would rather remain humble and just be one of the brothers in the congregation. I just happen to have this position. And so with that job comes the authority, regardless of the title. But it's not something to become puffed up about. So let's read verse 3 again. For I say, through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly. That means you can't be getting drunk and high and always feuding, always fighting. You need to be of a sober mind. You need to be able to think clearly. You need to be able to hear. You need to be able to not only hear, but listen to what the people have to say, what the Most High has to say, so that you can give sober judgment, make sober decisions. According as Elohim has dealt to every man the measure of faith, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. As I said, different offices that people are assigned to come with different responsibilities and different authorities. Is when people question the authority because they really haven't submitted to the structure that the Most High has put in place. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. One body. We got all these different congregations, all these different factions, all these different cliques, religion, denominations, and everybody's saying that they're serving the one Elohim. Everybody's saying that they are in Christ. And I'm not going to be 100% against that. The truth of the matter is, different members and different parts of the body require different things. So everybody doesn't require exactly the same thing. Yet and still, we got parts of the body that fight against other parts of the body. And that should not be so. Okay. So as the Most High allows me to develop this and develop this organization, that cannot be. One mind, one heart, one body, one spirit. That is the word. And if they're not keeping the statutes, laws, and the commandments of the Most High, then there's a problem there. Because we don't want to walk in opposition. Having then gifts differing according to the grace, verse 6. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our minister. Or he that teaches on teaching. Or he that exhorts on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth, with diligence. He that showeth mercy, with cheerfulness. See, these... let me change this right here a second. This is how I want to do it. When we read this about the different gifts, whether it's ministry or whether it's prophecy or whether it's teaching, okay, when I was in the church, you know, I've always told my pastors, hey, I don't really want to be a preacher. I'd rather be a teacher. I can exhort to do things, but for me it's much better if the individuals learn what thus saith Yah. A lot of times people will go by what they hear, and what they hear is cannot be something that excites them. But but it doesn't really give them something to live on. So we don't ever want to, we want to walk according to the gift that we've been given. And each one of us has been gifted, whether it's brother or sister. We've all been gifted. Having then gifts, according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our minister, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity, he that ruleth with diligence. See, if we got, we don't want to hear this rulership. I don't say we. But a lot of people have problems submitting themselves in the body. We want to run around like free radicals. Cancerous cells, not submitting ourselves to rulership. Well, I don't understand why they did that like that. Well, maybe it wasn't given for you to understand it yet. But I will say this to each and every person, to those listening, to those who will listen to this in the future, who download it and listen. You have to be very careful what you join yourself to. So that should never be a quick snap decision. You need to listen to what is being preached and what is being taught, what is being accepted, and what is not being accepted. And make sure that it lines up with the word of the Most High. And then once you are sure, then get in where you fit in. Don't try to force your way in. Be, you know, sometimes it just takes being good help. Just being good help, being able to assist. Verse 8. He that showeth mercy, with verse 9, let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Hate that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Let's look up this word dissimulation. Now let's see what the Webster's Dictionary says about it first, and then let's see what the Greek word is that equates to it and what it meant. Dissimulation, to make like, to act of, the act of dissembling, hiding under a false appearance, a feigning. So let love be without feigning. Let love be without false appearance. Let love be without hypocrisy. Dissimulation may be simply concealment of the opinions, sentiment, or purpose, but it includes also the assuming of false or counterfeit appearance, which conceals the real opinions or purpose. Dissimulation among statesmen is sometimes regarded as necessary, a necessary vice, or as no vice at all. Okay, so not be false under false pretense, not be hypocritical, not pretending that you love somebody, but you really don't. That's dissimulation. So it says, let love be without hypocrisy, without feigning, not under false appearance or pretense. This is genuine love. And you got to have a heart for people to be this way. A heart for your fellow man, mankind. And genuinely care whether people are hurting or whether they are, whether they've been injured, whether it's emotionally, spiritually, financially. According to the scriptures and my understanding, when one of us is hurt, we're all hurting, if we understand it. Because it's part of the body. When you step on a nail, you hurt. You don't say, you can say my foot hurts, but you don't just cut off your foot and treat it as something different. It's part of you. So you step on a nail, you hurt. But part of you hurts. It's the foot part. It's the same way with the body of Messiah. So when he says one mind, one spirit, one body, many members, we have to come together that way. We have to look at and take care of each other that way. And that can be hard. It can be a change. I mean, it can be hard to change that paradigm. Okay. Be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another. You go first. No, you go first. That's all right, sister. You go first. No, brother, you go first. Age before beauty. All right, now you're getting funny. You know, but the truth is that we prefer one before the other. We're not looking to be number one all the time, but we are preferring one another than what the other one needs or wants. Not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving, yeah. Many of us in our communities don't really own businesses. There's a reason for that, though. Now, not everybody can own a business, but when you think about it, I want us to go back prior to, let's go back prior to the 1600s. Go back to a time where each family had to depend upon themselves. And if you didn't grow your own food, if you didn't have a trade, y'all didn't eat. If you didn't have something to barter with, you didn't eat. And if part of this has to come from the continent that we come from as well. You know, when you come from the northern climates, you have to go out and farm and make sure your crop comes in, or if not, you won't survive the winter. But if you come from a tropical climate where food grows all the time, then you can be a little bit more lax about it. And I think a lot of times that inherent nature within us won't really let us be thoughtful in business. You know, we'll think that, oh, going this far is good enough. But really, if you thought about, hey, we need our own businesses, and that's, we should be doing business amongst ourselves, and not just because of people of color, but we should be doing business amongst ourselves, period, as the body of Messiah. See, one of the things that is supposed to draw us together is Messiah. So when we put race aside, we put all the stuff aside, then it is the body of Messiah that is supposed to glue us together. It shouldn't matter whether you're black or white, Puerto Rican, Mexican, Hamite, Jebusite, Japhite. Shouldn't matter. It is Messiah that is supposed to glue us together. It is the Spirit of the Most High that is supposed to glue us together. And so we should be having our own business. And we should be doing business amongst ourselves. That's another conversation. But if we do that, we cannot be slothful in it. That means lazy. slow, not dependable. In business, now, how many of us ever really pull that out of the scriptures? Not to be slothful in business. Let's get the definition for this word. Inactive, sluggish, lazy, indolent, idle. He that is slothful in his work is brother to him that is a great waster. Proverbs 18. In all that we do, the Most High wants us to put our 100% into it, because not only are we representing ourselves, but we're representing him in everything. So we can't be using uneven scales. You know, we can't be crooked. But we also can't be lazy about the business. And so sometimes it's easier to work for somebody else, but if you choose to work for somebody else, then you can't really complain about the conditions. That's why I really can't really complain about Amazon. I chose to work for Amazon. And Amazon does work you like a Hebrew slave. Trust me, they do. But I can't really complain about it, because I have my own company for almost 20 years. I know what it is to go out and try to get business. Paying more for raw materials than, let's say, my Caucasian brother, and still try to make a profit, and then try to do business with your own people. They wonder, well, why are your prices higher than theirs? But we as the body, I'll just say this and we'll move on, because we'll move out of this business portion. This is love. Even if we have to pay a higher price to do business with our own people, we have to be willing to do that, to do business with the body. We have to be willing to do that, because it stays within the body. And this is one of the things that we as a race, a people, have not learned. We haven't learned it yet. But perhaps if we look at it from the standpoint of not racial, but spiritual, maybe we can get over that hump. That no matter what, you know, if the person is truly in the body and they're truly holy, sanctified, then they're not going to be trying to defraud you out of your money. They're not going to be trying to get over on you. But everybody should be able to make a living at whatever business that they're doing. And we always want that what, quote unquote, you know who I'll be are, we want that deal. Can you give me a deal? I didn't get a deal when I went and got this stuff. I had to pay more for it than I know. I've had employees that I sent to go buy different things, and they would come back. They'd have a different price than if I went. So I'm not telling you something that I heard. These are things that I know. It costs us more to do business. But as a body of believers, we have to understand that, hey, I might have to pay more to you than I do down the street for the simple fact that you're not getting it as cheap as they are, so that you can't make the same deal with me that they can make. But as the buying power goes up, then trust me, then that person should be able to learn how to, A, I know that you give this price to these people that spend this kind of money. This is what I want, because this is what I spend with you. So I want that kind of deal for my people as well. It has to be negotiated. Nevertheless, not slothful in business, not lazy. Willing to put your all into it and, you know, give the person your best service, whatever it is, your best product. And, you know, expect a fair price. Nothing wrong with that. Verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless them which persecute you. Bless and curse not. So this is one of those things that Messiah said to what? Love your enemy. If they're in need, if you saw and they were your enemy and they were hurt on the side of the road and y'all not been fighting, you know, you're not at war, but you know they ain't for you. Things that say, still feed them, still take care of them. Rejoice with them that do rejoice, and weep with them that weep. Okay, so in this that we read, we want to let love be without hypocrisy, one toward another. That's the biggest thing here. The love of the kingdom is not love that is feigned. It's not love that you pretend. You know, you got people that love animals. And they will bend over backwards for that animal. And they'll go out looking for animals that are what? Distressed. We have to be the same way about each other. And, you know, that's something that's just in them. This has to be just in you. It has to be just in me. It has to be just in us. Before we say anything, we need to think. How can I help you? How can I not hurt you? You know, I've had brothers to come and do business, I would tell them, I would just tell them like this. I would say, hey, charge me what you need to charge. And if it's too high, then, yeah, we're going to talk. Because you have to be competitive. But I understand I'll allow it to be you to be higher, but you still got to be competitive. Amongst our brothers, amongst our people. I'm saying they got to be competitive with those people who already got it. But if we're going to do business, then, brother, I need to keep you honest, so I'm going to find two or three other brothers that are doing this. And I'm going to see what price they're going to give. And competitive amongst us, then that's how I would do it. Now, if you're a preferred vendor, you know, I just want to do business with you, and I know that you're gonna treat me right. You give me your best price, and I'm not gonna question you. Have integrity. So, love unfeigned. Yeah, I want to do business. I want us to prosper. I want you to prosper in what you put your hands to. I want to be a blessing to you. Because I hope you would want to be a blessing to me. Let's move on. So love without dissimulation, love without feigned love, love without pretension, being pretentious. Like acting like you care, but you really don't. Scripture says, don't let that be the type of love that you have. All right, let's continue. Let us go now to the book of Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Romans chapter 13, starting in verse 1. Because it has to do with love. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but Elohim, but of Elohim. The powers that are ordained of, the powers that be are ordained of Elohim. Whosoever therefore resisteth power resisteth the ordinance of Elohim. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now, you know, read this in the amongst the body, especially amongst former slaves, first thing you hear is, oh, some white man wrote that. and it amazes me because, you know, a lot of our schisms are because of what we've come out of. Nevertheless, all scripture, we have to believe that, all scripture. So whether you believe that this was written by a white man to put you in subjection, matters not. If it's in this word and you're accepting this book, then you have to also abide by that. It's just like there's certain verses that a lot of women will read, some man wrote that. Some man wrote it all. But some man wrote that in the favor of men. The bottom line is, if it's in the scripture and it's in the word of God, then you have to abide by and you have to live by. You can't say, I want to pick and choose what verses I'm going to believe and accept and those that I'm not. It's all the book or none of it. When it looks like it's not in your favor, whether it's in submission to a man or men, whether it's in submission to authorities, the bottom line is, the Most High says, I want you to be law-abiding. You are still subject to the laws of the land as long as the laws of the land don't try to overwrite the laws of the Most High, such as in, let's say, two men can be married. That will never change in the scriptures. So that will never be acceptable. Or two women being married, that will never change in the scriptures. The word of Yah will never change. And Yah himself will never change toward that. So what society is doing, if society tries to overrule what Yah has said and what he has declared, then no. You don't have to abide by that. But those things that are reasonable and don't contradict the laws of the Most High, he says you have to conform to those. So we can't just go out and just go killing people or go out and just run stop signs because we don't want to stop. We don't want to conform to the law of the land. We want to be, you know, Most High says, no, don't do that. Place yourself in subjection to the law of the land and to those people who he has put in authority. That's why I say we as a people, if we don't go out and vote, if we don't put our own people who are holy up for public office, what do we have to complain about? We have nothing to complain about. We have nothing to say in the matter. And the Most High didn't say, don't do that. So I'm not really understanding this spirit of, oh, well, no, we don't vote. Well, no, we are supposed to be the salt of the earth. We are supposed to be the leavening, the good leavening, as in love, mercy, joy, peace, long-suffering. But we will allow corrupt people to run for office and make corrupt laws that go against the Most High's laws and then say, oh, look at them, but we won't do anything. Those things have to change. We are supposed to be change agents in everything. We don't want to submit to their laws, then we should be putting ourselves in place to where we're the ones making the laws. We're the ones that are in the positions of authority. Contrary to what I know most Hebrews, Israelites, what I've heard, and I don't understand it. How are we going to be a change agent and you don't get involved? Are we just waiting on the Most High to come back? The Most High says he's waiting on us to do what we're supposed to do. He's waiting on us, and we don't want to get involved with it. Then we walk contrary. How are you going to teach the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High? Teach them in class, but don't try to, but don't really try to get them enforced in the land. It's part of what we're supposed to be doing. How are you going to spread a kingdom and not spread the laws of that kingdom? You spread, you take over a nation from within. So if this is what we want to enforce, then we have to be involved. Or else, don't complain. Don't even open your mouth to complain. Because the scripture, let's read this again. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers. For there is no power but of Elohim. Elohim says, I put these people in charge. I put them in charge to carry out my will. The powers that be are ordained of Elohim. Whosoever therefore resisteth power, resisteth the ordinance of Elohim. And they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Don't like the laws of the land? Won't vote, won't run for office to change those things, to put into place the will of the Most High? His statutes, his laws, and his commandments. Let's drop down to verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works. To good works. If you're doing good according to them, they're not a terror to you, but to evil. Wilt thou then not be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. If we are doing what is good, what is necessary, if we are walking in accordance with the word of Yah, then he says you're going to be praised of the same. If you're not breaking their laws, surely they're not going to condemn you. Now, we know they don't enforce them all the same. They don't enforce them evenly. So the truth of the matter is, if we walked according to the word of Yah, they would look at us differently, no matter the color. If we weren't running around trying to sleep with everybody, if they weren't seeing us as being lawless, that's what they try to put on us. It's you're lawless. You're wild. You're sexually aberrant. You'll screw anything. That's what they think about our women, if the truth be known. You're just highly sexual. They think we're out of control. But the truth of the matter is, if we in the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and we lived according to them, and we did not deter from those to the right or to the left, if that was our reputation, trust me, when they said something bad about the Most High, if we didn't just accept it, if we walked, just like, you know, you can't say just anything about Allah without upsetting a Muslim. But we'll let anybody say anything about Christ. So it is the nature, it is the way that we present ourselves. It is what we will accept. If you will not stand up for anything, why should they care about what you think? See, we don't want to be treated unfairly, but then we don't, you know, we don't treat each other fairly. That's like the N word. I won't even say that I don't say that word, the N word. It is by them said disrespectfully. I don't care what connotation it may have had in the past. I don't care what connotation it has amongst our own people. when we will use words that are disrespectful and were used disrespectfully of us as a people, and then we start using them on each other and say, oh, it's just a term of endearment, like, you my bee. What? That is, you know, that's worldly. And when we present that, then when the world treats us that way, we have no cause to complain. None. Because we're not showing love one to another. And then when we do, we got this warped sense of love. So, let's go back to the scripture. Verse 3 again. Romans chapter 13, verse 3. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of Elohim to thee for good. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. For he is the minister of Elohim, a revenger to execute wrath upon him that doeth evil. If we are walking in evil, you know, if you're a law abider, if you're keeping the law, you don't really have a problem with the police in the world. Even if they stop you and you act respectful, you don't usually have an issue. I don't think I've ever had an issue really with a policeman pulling me over for a ticket for speeding or whatever when I had a heavy foot. It's when we act crazy. Now, do they kill some of us unjustly? Yes, for sure. But for the most part, if you are peaceful and you're keeping the law, you don't really have those issues. Not saying you can't, but you really don't have them most of the time. But the Most High in the scriptures is saying, hey, I sent you into that land where you're not in charge. And for you, Hebrew, when you're not in charge and they got a thing for you anyway, they're going to just go to the max with you. So you need to stay respectful, because I sent you there as a punishment, not for you to have a good time, not for you to feel like you got equal rights. We are not in our own land. And we're trying to be assimilated into a land that we're not supposed to really be in as far as this way. We're supposed to be making change, but the change that our people is introducing is what? Negative. So as soon as we come into order under the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, and as soon as we not try to, but enforce those amongst ourselves, hold each other accountable. As soon as that becomes the norm, things will start to change for us as a people in whatever land we're in. Wherefore, verse 5, wherefore you must needs be subject not only for wrath, but also for conscience sake. Who do you represent? Why are you running around cussing out people like that? How does that show love? It doesn't. Why are we running around trying to take from each other rather than look for each other's good? That doesn't show love. shows a quantum disrespect and lack of love and lack of caring for one another. Our young men, our young women look and see what's on TV and think that that's real. And it's not real. I want that life. And so then they go about trying to achieve it, especially if they don't have anybody to teach them and give them the morals of the book and to enforce it, enforce the morals of the book, of the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. That is real love. That is something to live by, to grow by for your whole entire life. But a lot of people are dependent upon the schools and then what happens? Upon the system to raise their kids. Too busy staying drunk, too busy staying high, too busy trying to find love in all the wrong places, too busy trying to get a fast buck. And we know whatever comes fast goes fast. So he says, bring yourself into subjection to the powers that be. They're put there to keep you in line. And because you are in the land that is not of your own, it can be harder on you. But if we are living, truthfully, if we are living by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, they would not have an issue with us. Well, let me change that. If we're living by the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High, they still may have an issue with you because of your skin color. There are some people who are just racist, period. That is on both sides. So you're going to always have an element of that. But when, you know, they can't say, oh, because you do these things and you're destructive, you don't care about anything, you don't take care of your neighborhood, you run around, you throw trash everywhere. When we come out of those things, when we care about ourselves and our neighborhoods and our neighbors, then we wouldn't do those things. And we won't. That has to start with community. That has to start with self-love and then loving others. And this is a law in the kingdom. Verse 6. For this cause, pay ye tribute also. Pay you tribute, for they are Elohim's ministers, attending continually upon this very thing. Render therefore to all their dues, tribute to whom tribute is due, custom to whom custom is due. Let's look at these words, tribute. What is this word? Tribute, an annual or statem sum of money or other valuable thing paid by one prince to a nation, prince or nation to another, either as an acknowledgement of submission or as the price of peace and protection or by virtue of some treaty. The Romans made all their conquered countries pay tribute, as do the Turks this day. And in some countries, the tribute is paid in children. Good grief. A personal contribution as a tribute of respect. Tribute. Render therefore to all their dues. Look up this word due. Dues. Indebtedness, in essence, concretely, a sum owed, figuratively, obligation, duty, debt, due. Owe no man anything but to love one another, for he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. So he's talking about making payments. He's talking about paying tribute and dues. He's talking about respecting power and authority. And he tells you to owe no man anything. So we should not be running around trying to get in what? Debt. That is what this nation is based upon, but it's anti-scripture. It's anti the word of Elohim. What's your credit score? I mean, let's be real. What's your credit score? If you can pay cash for something, you don't need credit. So the system is designed to keep us, what, just over broke. That's what your job is, just over broke. So if you lose your job, you broke. Because most of us can't put away no money. And if that's the case, then we are actually doing what? Living over our means. That's the truth of it. Living over our means. Because the scripture says, the word of Yah says, owe no man anything. That means that we shouldn't be in positions where we are dealing our finances such that we're always in need of somebody giving us money. Hard thing for some of us. Everybody can fall upon hard times. Anybody can fall upon hard times. And so it's not really speaking of that. But if it's your way of life that you want to, you know, you have to be in debt. It's just like having a house note. It's hard to have a house these days without being in what debt. But the truth of the matter is, we're supposed to be saving to purchase that in full. Because if you've ever been down that credit hole where the interest on your debt just eats away whatever you pay, you know, you never can pay against the principal. And you're always in debt. You're always owing. That's why he says we as a people can't charge each other what? Interest. If you come to me for money and I loan it to you, I can't charge you interest on it. Because that's to keep you in bondage. But that is the way this world and this system and most systems and most governments, don't care what kind of government it is, to keep you in bondage. So if you can pay cash, whether it's for a car or for a home, or for clothes, or food, what have you, everything that you can pay cash for, you ought to be paying cash for. That you fulfill the scriptures, owe no man anything. But to love one another, you owe it to me to love you. I owe it to you to love you. For he that loveth another has fulfilled the law. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You don't want to treat people differently than you want to be treated. And you don't want them treating you different than they want to be treated. Now, that is a spiritual law. Love your neighbor as you would want to be loved. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now, if we don't love ourselves, then, hey, we got a problem, though. But most people, 99% of people love themselves to one degree or the other. But if you don't want nobody stealing from you, then you shouldn't steal from somebody. If you don't want nobody hurting you, then you shouldn't hurt anybody. If you're in need and you need help, then help somebody. If you see your neighbor genuinely out there, and if it was you, how would you want people to react towards you? I mean, let's put ourselves in some of these people's position. What if you genuinely were homeless? You had nowhere to go and nobody would help you. How would you feel? That can break someone. Literally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. I mean, if we empathize, we really have nowhere to go, and nobody will help us. That's destitution. That's being destitute. This is what the Most High does not want to see in his kingdom. He don't want people fiending that either. Oh, I have no place to go, and they're just trying to get over. And this is what, you know, this is what most of us see when we see somebody that's homeless, or they're just trying to get over, because we see too many people running game. And as I said, you have to let the Most High give you discernment. That this is real. Or you give without question and just let the Most High make it back up to you. Either way works. Verse 9. No, verse 10. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. If you ain't got no ill will towards your neighbor, then you're actually loving them. Even though you might not have any direct feelings for them, you ain't trying to hurt them. You ain't trying to bring them down. You ain't trying to take what's theirs. You're not trying to come in the middle of the night. This is what the Most High wants of us, that we be law-abiding and have no ill will toward our neighbors, toward our friends. Now, if we're in community, if we had our own community, then we know, oh, we're community. It's easier because, you know, if everybody's on the up and up, and truly about living this word, and we're community, then that's much easier to do then. But even now, not knowing my neighbors, I have no ill will toward them. I really don't know my neighbors either. They're one of those neighborhoods. Speak, but don't really know them. Don't have any ill will toward them. So let us stop here for today. I forgot that we are, time has changed, and for those who arrive late, with the time going spring forward, then for me, my time doesn't change, so I have to start a little bit earlier. I need to discuss, because we have some people on the West Coast, that if it's not too much, I may ask the people in the Central Standard Time that we might start 30 minutes later to give them a chance to actually attend. I have to see what the time does for them. But I know for me, this is like 2 hours ahead now for me. Nevertheless, we'll let the will of Yah be done. All right, we're going to continue this on Thursday. We'll still be in this kingdom of love. And love is not always easy. The Most High says if we love our neighbors, then we're not going to have any ill will toward them. If we love our neighbors as ourselves, then we're going to have respect of their property. We're going to have respect of their children. We're going to have respect of them as a person, and they should likewise. And if we are looking out for each other, if I got your welfare in my forefront, in the forefront of my mind, in doing business, I'm not trying to take advantage of you. And you're not trying to take advantage of me. If we are genuine, then we are not feigning that we care one for another. It's not dissimulated, as the scripture says. We're not feigning that we care one for another. But it's genuine. So if where the rubber meets the road, then that's where we have to show that we really love each other. If we're just loving people, because that is our nature, then it's not a hard thing to do. This is what the Most High is calling us to in his kingdom, and this is what the world has really gotten away from. The world is about me, 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 me. What can I get? What do I want? What do I need? And if I have to take it from you to get what I need, then that's what I'll do. That is this world. That is this nation. That is capitalism. Let me try to get your wealth from you. You try to get my wealth from me. That's what it's all about. That's the game they play. Anti-scripture. Anti-scripture. Anti the word of Elohim. And it doesn't show love. And so then if you say this, be prepared to hear this word.
Socialist.
Be prepared to hear that word and be called that. When it's all about looking out for your fellow man and not needing more than what you need. But they'll call that socialism. That being said, I pray something was said tonight to encourage you to love one another, to love your neighbor, to be respectful of the law of the land as long as it does not contradict the laws of the Most High. But also consider taking part in the government in the land that you're in, because we are supposed to be agents of change. We are. How do you spread the kingdom of Elohim? And it's not an underground kingdom, but everything you want to do, you want to keep it underground and not be in the public when it comes to change. So just asking, consider the matter, because it's all part of the kingdom of love. We wouldn't be going through a lot of these things if we invoked and went out and tried to implement and enforce the statutes, laws, and commandments of the Most High. All right. On Thursday, we will continue. We have the Passover coming up, and right before Passover, I want to do a lesson a precept on Passover. Passover and keep the law that Israel is supposed to keep concerning the Passover, but I want to do it before the Passover, because the Passover service itself, I want to be more of a service, not like a precept. So I want to do a precept on Passover so we understand what Passover meant to us in the past and what it means to us today under Messiah. So we understand how they tie together, how he is our Passover. And then we want to celebrate him on the Passover for the work that he's done, for the opportunity that he opened to us. So that will be the order. I will do a Passover lesson so we understand and we keep the law to tell how the Most High brought us out on eagle's wing out of Egypt, our forefathers. That is something that we are required to do by the scriptures. Most High says you shall do this perpetually. You shall tell your young people about this. And then when we come into the New Testament, then how Messiah became our Passover. So we need to have that understanding. But then on Passover itself, I want us to actually do the feast. You know, so we're not going to cook a whole lamb, but, you know, to have the feast and have it with understanding. That being said, let's bow our heads. And don't let me forget, because you see I'm getting at this point, I'm going all these different ways. Don't let this creep up on me, please. If it looks like I'm forgetting, say, Brother Miles, and I won't be offended. All right. Father Yah, we thank you for your loving kindness. We thank you for your tender mercy. We thank you for the spirit of obedience. We thank you for the spirit of love, Father. Let us each have genuine love one to another. Let it not be about doctrine, but let it be about true worship of you, Father, and implementing your statutes, your laws, and your commandments, and your kingdom. This is the task that you have given your people, to teach all things that you taught the apostles. Study in your law and in your commandments, and to implement them in spirit and in truth. So, Father, we thank you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. The Elohim of love. We love you, Yah. Remember, Yah loves you, and I love you. Shalom, family.
Dwell in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy. Sometimes all I want to do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpacha, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way. I pray that I never fall.